Okay, everybody, welcome to Festool Shop Talk number 9. And do we have a great podcast for you today? It is with Mike Coffey from Coffey Custom Builds. Mike shared so much with us today about his business and how he manages his time because he has his hands in everything. So please give this a listen. You will walk away with so much trade knowledge. So check it out.
You betcha. Hey, everybody, this is episode number 9. And we have a very special guest today. His name is Mike Coffey. And this is Festool Shop Talk. We're live on Instagram, right, Big D? And this is going to go out on Apple and Spotify and about, I think, 6 or 7 other platforms.
Awesome.
So we do this twice a month, and eventually it might be once a week. We don't know. It's been fantastic. We've seen some great results, and we've had some of the best folks on so far, including yourself,
Mike. And then
I came
in. Yeah.
And then we asked you to do it.
Got to flatten that curve, you know?
Betcha. I think it's perfect because we're kind of winding down the year here at Festool, and I know you're really busy with your business, and I'm just going to mention that you have CoffeeCustomBuilds.com. You have at Coffee Custom Builds, and you're also one of the great folks on Another Woodshop Podcast. So everybody can go find Mike there. So how you doing today? Pretty good?
Good, man. Yeah, I've got a big day ahead. I've got some guys installing a shed over here that's going to be my new spray booth. Really excited about that. So yeah, they're I don't know if you could. You might be able to see it if you look out the door. Oh, it's kind of foggy. There's a tarp over it right now, but there's a put in an 8x15 spray boot or a shed. They started it yesterday. We actually got snow yesterday unexpectedly.
Wow.
So, but yeah, trying to get this gimbal straight. But yeah, I'm getting that. That's getting wrapped up today. So we're gonna start running. I'm gonna start running the electrical over there. I'm gonna put in a. It's got a couple gable vents, so I'm gonna put in some fans in the gable vents so I can have fresh air coming in and blowing out the cruddy air. I'm going to filter both so that I can have a nice spray booth set up in there. Cause right now, anytime I spray, I set up like a zip wall and it shuts down my whole shop. So I have it shuts things down for like 2-3 days sometimes when I'm spraying. So I'm going to be moving that stuff out there. And then whenever we have like an epoxy, something with epoxy, we can just let it sit out there. Anyway, it's going to be nice to put all the finishing stuff outside of here. Eventually, that wall back there with my lumber on it is going to be blown out, and we're going to be doing I'm going to be doing a addition to the shop, but I'm not doing that yet because I just don't have time, and it'd be a huge undertaking right now since I got the shop back up and running. So
way anyway. Cool. How much snow did you get yesterday?
Oh, it was crazy, man. Almost an inch. It's California. So it was barely any. It wasn't supposed to be any snow, but I woke up in the morning. My wife goes, "Hey, there's snow." I'm like, "What?" I open up the door or open up the window, and we have snow out there. It was pretty wild. We didn't expect it. It was nice, considering we haven't really had a winter in 3-4 years. I mean, it's been pretty dry. So,
Where are you located?
I'm up in Northern California, outside of Sacramento, kind of between Sacramento and South Lake Tahoe, if you're familiar with the area at all. But about 45 minutes to both. Maybe closer to Sacramento for sure. So, yeah, just up in the foothills up here.
I had a friend who lived out there in Sacramento. He lived in that area. The name of the town was called Cool.
Yeah, that's right by me, man. That's like 20 minutes from here.
He's his name is Frank Caputo, and he is an amazing trim carpenter. Really great guy. He used to work with Gary Katz, and he used to do a lot of the JLC clinics. He still does, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I got a question. I think everybody who's listening who may not know you, Mike, how did you get started? How long have you been doing what you're doing?
I started I never did woodworking growing up. I never had this in my life at all. I was in corporate America. You know, I had a 9-to-5 job. I was working at my family's business most recently. Before that, I was in building material distribution. I was an operations manager for a company that sold galvanized steel framing and drywall for construction. My whole family's in construction. I was in operations and distribution in my 20s, and I became an operations manager doing that. And then I got on with my family's business, and then my wife and I had a kid, and that changes everything. I was really into motorcycles. Yeah. I had a couple Harleys, and that was my hobby at the time, was that. And then when the kid was born, I just wasn't really able to go out for rides anymore. There's just no time for that. You can't leave the house, leave my wife at home with the kid. That's not cool. So I spent about a year staring at my bikes in my garage, and I realized it was time for them to go. I wasn't going to have much time to ride those. So I started looking for a new hobby. I actually took a blacksmithing class, and I don't like heat. So that didn't really work out. So I was that was too hot for me. So I just started doing stuff around the house.
Wow.
Cheapo miter station, you know, miter saw set up, and started doing like DIY weekend warrior stuff. And I started snowballing. I started doing more and more. I started building furniture and decorations and stuff around the house. And it just took off. That was about 4.5, 5 years ago, and just quickly accelerated. I just love it. I just love custom woodworking. It's just amazing. It's soulful. It's super cheesy sounding, but it's fulfilling in a way that I've never had any activity fulfilling like that. You know, I mean, it's so great. I just love working with my hands and making stuff and the design. And then it started to turn into a business. Slowly it just evolved. It turned into it. I started making money on it, and it started being able to afford nice tools, and started spending money on tools and getting tools. I started liking the tool side of it a lot. I like having good, nice, solid tools, you know, and it started paying for itself quickly. And about 2 years ago, I actually started a business. And then this last summer, I took it full time. So that's kind of my, that's kind of how it got it going for me. So it's been for all of 2021, in the beginning of the year, it was really, I was working two very full-time jobs, because my family's business, I had a lot of responsibilities over there. I was in charge of a lot of stuff. And I would come home at night, do family time, go in the shop till like at like 8 o'clock, and I'd be working till like 2 a.m. It was like that. It was just too much for me to do anymore. So I decided to make the decision to invest in myself. So I decided to take the business full time, and that's where I'm at now. Sorry for the long story, but that's how we got here. So, and now I'm doing a live with Festool Sedge. So,
hey, I tell you, boy, there's some similarities. I've been in that two full time jobs, one with my cabinet shop in Fort Lauderdale, and I was doing another thing on the side. But that other thing on the side was also full time, and I finally made that decision just to go full time, and that's a heck of a leap of faith. You got to really believe in yourself. You got to be passionate.
Yep.
And
it's scary.
It is really scary, because that's what puts the bread and the potatoes and meat on the table for the kids and the school.
The kombucha.
And
avocado toast.
And guess what? When you make that leap of faith, it all follows, because if you're passionate about what you do, it just happens, right?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it just seems to. It works out when you're really – I mean, you know, it doesn't always work out for everyone, it seems like. But I don't know. It's been really – if you build – my friend Dan likes to say, if you build it, they will come. And, man, it's been working over here. I mean, I've been expanding my – I've been scaling. I've been really focusing on scaling a lot.
Yep.
So I'm scaling a lot right now. And every time I scale, I'm able to take on more, and I get those jobs to fill in that spot. I'm able to take on more work and have more work. So,
Hey, do you have somebody helping you? Do you have employees yet?
Yeah. So I've got, it's ramped up since we just moved. My wife and I just bought this property. We bought 5 acres out here. Cause it had a shop on it in our house before. I was using our 4-car garage as my shop, which was tough for what I was doing. I mean, I was buying those temporary carports you'd get from like Harbor Freight or whatever. I was storing projects in there, because I was doing like 6-7 tables at a time. So I'd have them in different states of fabrication, and I would have to store them out there because I couldn't keep them in the garage. They're just too big. We'd be tripping over each other. And at the time, it was mostly my cousin coming in on the weekends, and he's been learning some of the automated tools, and I've been teaching him some of the real basic woodworking stuff. And when we moved, I had to shut my shop down for like 2 months, because I had to get power in. It was like an act of Congress to get a meter main put in for this shop. I had to put a meter main in here. I got 200 amp service out here, which is great. I was trying to get three phase, but the county wanted a ton of requirements from me. So they'll allow me to do it, but basically I'm going to have to build a whole new building and it's going to take a large investment. So should that need arise, I have that ability to do it, but it's going to cost me through my nose, you know, but we'll do it if we need to. But we got the power up and running about 3 weeks ago. And now it's just running and gunning. I've had another guy in here, another local furniture maker. He's been helping me about 20 to 50 hours a week for the last 3 weeks. We're really busy right now. Today, he's going to be here around noon today, my time, in about 3 hours. And we're probably going to work till about six. And we're going to do that every day, basically up until Christmas, except for this Saturday. Saturday, we're taking the day off, but we're working nonstop to get going. So,
are you doing? And I've been kind of nosing around your website, and it seems like you have a blend of stuff that comes off the CNC, like for Etsy, mm-hmm. and then you have your custom fabrication, you have your tables and stuff like that. What's the blend of it? It's so, right now, there must be a lot coming in for charcuterie boards and stuff like
yeah,
that.
The charcuterie boards have been actually not nearly as crazy as last year. I kind of price those really high, to be honest, because I don't really, they're not really enjoyable, to be honest. Like, if I'm going to get them, I'd like to enjoy the money I make off of them, because they themselves, the actual builds aren't that fun, the charcuterie boards. I mean, the bread and butter here is tables. We do, I mean, a lot of tables is kind of my thing. That's what I really like doing. I really like making the tables a lot. It's really enjoyable to me. And any sort of, any sort of larger furniture is really enjoyable to me. But yes, my business is comprised of kind of three parts. I do have an Etsy store, which does do fairly well. I mean, it keeps me going over there. It's actually enough to the point where I'm able to bring on my, my cousin is going to be coming on full time and he'll just be handling all the Etsy stuff. Cause I just don't, I don't really have time for that. And, I've been training him very specifically. A lot of the items on my Etsy store are they're made on the automated tools, specifically the CNC and the laser. I mean, they're very, woodworking. They're very simple projects. They're very simple to make. The CNC can slap them out. My cousin can get them assembled and put them and get the finish on there. We can get them out and shipped out to customers in a very quick turnaround. A lot of that stuff with the Etsy store, the customers are, you know, they're the Amazon customers also. They are expecting stuff to get turned around quickly. And that's kind of how you got to grow your reputation over there is you've got to be into some sort of quick production. So you've got to be able to make things that you know you can make repeatedly with the same accuracy and the same quality every time. So that's the one side is the Etsy side. The other side is the production side. I'll do production runs for different companies. I have, we've probably done 20 or 30 of them of custom. The most recent one I did was these custom tiles. They were ceiling tiles for a building that was built in 1930. They had acoustical ceiling tiles in there, and those tiles haven't been made since the late 50s. So they asked me if I could make the tile out of an MDF because they're just painting them white, right? And they're made out of a fibrous product, all those acoustical panelings to absorb the sound. Sure. So we did some testing with the ultralight MDF, and it gave them what they wanted out of it in terms of acoustical value, and it looked right. And I ended up making several hundred of those for those. And the CNC did all of that, you know what I mean?
So
and each individual tile, 12 by 12 tile, had 400 holes in it, little drilled out quarter-inch holes. So the CNC, each sheet of MDF was an eight-hour job on the CNC. So, and that when I have these production runs going, I have to really delineate my time as to what's getting what, because when I have other things going on, like if I'm making templates for different furniture pieces, I have to stop the CNC for a production run. So I'm actually in the process of getting another CNC, but that can't happen until we get the expansion done here. We need the expansion done bad because I need to bring in more larger tools, and there's another. I've got a whole plan for scaling. We're hopefully we can get it going in spring is the plan right now. But then the main part of the business, the part that I'm the most passionate about is the furniture, the commission furniture side. That's the stuff I love to do the most.
Yep.
That's where I love it. But the other stuff is great. Obviously I also through like starting my business, I've actually learned that I really enjoy the business side of it a lot. A lot of people don't like it, but man, I really do enjoy it a lot. Growing the business has been super enjoyable. It's a new challenge. It's something I've never done. I've never had a business, you know, but growing my business has become very enjoyable to me. And it's like a, it's almost like golf. Like it's a challenge against myself, right? I want to see like how much I can, I'm always trying to take on as much as I can and try to beat my last score. You know, oh, we can do it. We can do it better and faster this time. And that's constantly what I'm trying to do with the business. So it's just a lot of different hats you got to wear, but man, I love it so much. I just love it. It's the best.
Good. So good. Because it just sounds, I really like that ceiling tile because that's kind of like my cup of tea. Somebody would hand me something and go, hey, can you do this?
Yeah.
And I love problem solving for me. I love to say, yeah, let's run a couple samples and see what you like. And obviously they liked what you did.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, they reached out to big companies or they reached out to tile companies that do that. And they wanted crazy amounts of money for setup. The actual tile themselves weren't going to be too much, but the setup was crazy high because of all the overhead they have. Well, I don't have that overhead, so I could be a lot more competitive and still make my nut and be happy. So anyway,
sure. Yeah. Hey, quick question.
Yeah.
For people out there who, because I love it when you say I love the business side of it and, you know, forecasting and everything like that. Do you handle the bookkeeping? Do you have a CPA and a bookkeeper? Because that's something a lot of people don't talk about.
So I do have a CPA. If you don't have a CPA, it's worth every penny. Get a CPA.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're running a business.
Totally agree.
I mean, they just
totally agree.
I mean, whatever money you're going to spend on them, they're going to save you 5 to 10 times that amount at the end of that tax season. And I mean, I didn't get into woodworking. I mean, I do like the business side of it, but I don't like that side of the business.
I mean, that's what I was getting at.
There's things that like, I mean, getting out there and be, I think I like the customer service side and the growth side of it, but the actual, like the spreadsheets and stuff, that's not something I enjoy. And I'm more than happy to pay someone who's a professional to do that. And you've got to be able to go, you've got to understand like what your limits are with a business. Cause eventually you'll just go crazy trying to do everything because you want to save and make every penny you can, but it's just not feasible. Like you just can't. So I use a lot of software. I have a lot of systems in place. I have some project management software I use to manage all my projects, which I love my project management software. And I have software for all my bookkeeping. It's the books are really quick and they're online, if that helps you figure out which one it is.
By the way, I have it.
Yeah, it's so great. Like I use it. And the great thing is my CPA, he's an authorized user. He can just jump in there and see my stuff at any time. Yep. And every few months he'll call me and be like, hey, what's going on here? I'll ask questions. So we don't have an even longer conversation during tax season. And I also have a sales tax guy who handles all my sales tax stuff because I have to deal with all the sales tax stuff locally. So he's able to advise me on that. And that's helpful because with the sales tax, because I'm set up for resale, with sales tax, there's other advantage. I mean, I have to pay sales tax, obviously, on everything I sell in state. But the what's great about that is when I buy big tools, I also get sales tax exemption. So I don't have to pay sales tax when I buy these big tools. So if I buy a tool for Coffee Custom Builds, it gets a big sales tax exemption. So there's all these different things you need to learn about. You know, you have to pay these bills, but there's also advantages to paying the bills. With great power comes great responsibility or whatever. So it's just one of those things you gotta learn. Yeah.
I hear you. So. Okay. That's interesting. Also, let's get away from the business. Well, this is more aimed at the customer side of the business, of the customer service. How do your customers find you? Is it all through social media or is it word of mouth?
I haven't actually broken it out, and I've actually started tracking it on my project management. I actually have been tagging different characters in the customers' names to see where I'm getting the referrals from, because I just started doing that recently. So I don't really have a breakout, but I get a lot of word of mouth. I work with a bunch of different other businesses in the area. I do a bunch of work with them, and we actually talked about this before. I mean, you and I have talked about how if you network with other businesses, you are going to get a bunch of referrals from those people. So I work
absolutely
through social media as well, and different partners with different brands. There's some local like mill yards here, salvage yards, lumber yards here, slab yards here. I work with one specifically that actually I get a lot of business from. They sell salvage, live edge slabs and I'm on their website as a preferred fabricator. So that takes them to coffeecustombuilds.com. And then on the top of my page, I have this big book now button, and they can get, I probably get 8 referrals from that a week. So it's a lot of referrals. So, it's what's really nice about those, and I'm being like real peek behind the curtain with the tabletops is, you know, people go live edge salvage tabletops and tops are huge right now. People go down there, they go through this really cool experience of picking out their own tabletop. But they have no idea how to build a table, and they have no idea how much work goes into fixing a salvage table. So they go into this thing and they're like, oh, I just dropped $1,000 on a tabletop. It can't be much more to get it built. Well, unfortunately, that's just not the case. Like, there's a lot of stuff that has to be done. And then they start pricing it out to people, and they go, oh man, we've kind of taken on a big project here. We didn't really think about how much goes into making one of these things into a tabletop. And then you know, I think the person who gives them the most honest and open information kind of gets the job, because they feel the most comfortable with that person. So whenever I get those referrals, I lay out the whole process for them. I'm very honest about the process, and I really just try to do as much customer service to that process as I can, so that they feel comfortable and happy. So, but a lot of that work, I mean, there's a lot of like the smaller items come through social media. But all the big stuff always is through word of mouth and referral. So,
yeah, I always used to, me and my business partner always had this thing in our brain. It's called educate your customer.
Yep.
Because it's tough sometimes. Like you're selling somebody a kitchen and they go to IKEA, or they priced out boxes at the depot or Lowe's, and you got to educate them why, hey, this is a custom build. It's a lot different.
Right.
And you said you walk your customer through the process of the table. Is a lot of that like, you know, they get the tabletop, but what do? Show them samples of the trestles underneath or the pedestals and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, a lot of times what will happen is I'll say, hey, send me some inspiration pics of what you're hoping this to look like. So they'll gather me a handful of pictures from Pinterest or something like that of table bases that they'd like to see.
Sure.
And then once I've locked down a deposit, I'll start working on a design, and I'll work on a lot of these bases. I mean, she's 95% of the bases right now that customers don't want wooden bases. They're wanting metal bases on these slabs. So that's what I'm running into the most right now. And I actually work with a vendor locally. Their name's Bidwell. They do all my metal bases, and they're fantastic. We have a really killer working relationship, which is great. So what's awesome about them, and this goes to having great relationships with your vendors and the other businesses locally, is that I can say, hey, here's this design me and the customer agreed on. I'll design it in a 3D space in CAD. You know, I'll design a 3D model of this base. Can you make this? They'll tell me yes or no. And if they can't, what they need to do to change to make it happen. So I'll send that design to them. They'll tell me what it costs. I'll quote that to the customer with, you know, my markup, obviously. And then we go from there, and we'll add that to the cost of the table. So that's usually the process we have. But sometimes when we have a wooden one, I don't need to farm that out. That's what I do. I make the base myself. So we'll give them different options. We'll give them pedestal bases, you know, all kinds of different options for that. And then, but typically they come into the conversation with something in their head already, and we just have to make the closest thing we can to that. So it usually is best for me to say, what do you want? Give me your inspiration, and let's go from there. So that's usually the best process.
That's a great idea. Go get some pictures and get of what you think you might like, and then you can go from there. And what a great base to create something.
Yeah, and the other thing is I like to also give them a bunch of information too, because there are some other guys in the area that do the same thing as me. There's a couple, you know, that I would never have make something for me. They don't have great business practices. I really like to give them as much information without betraying my process as much as I can, so that if they decide to not go with me, just go to someone else, they can kind of pick out red flags from the other guy that could make them something that's not quite as good. So I try to give them a little bit.
They used to ask, why should I use you? versus so-and-so, I would always point to my business partner. It's because it comes with him. And they'd look at me and go, what? I go, that guy, Mikey, had such an attention to detail. And I would jump over tons of hurdles to make sure it was absolutely perfect. But he would go way above and beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the customer wants. They want to feel comfortable with you.
Yeah, yep. You got to create comfort right away.
And honesty, you know. I'm not going to be the lowest price, but I'm going to be the best build. And when they see confidence like that, they know.
Well, it starts from the beginning too. Like when you send them a quote and it's like a picture of something you wrote on a napkin at a bar, and here's my quote written out, compared to when you send them like a PDF quote with your header on there and your footer and all this information, it feels more professional. It makes them more comfortable right off the bat. So the quicker you can make them feel like you're a professional outfit, they're going to feel more comfortable and want to work with you. So those things matter. Those customer interactions really matter. They go a long way. It's the first interaction.
Oh,
you know? So
yeah,
those things are
my
important.
My buddy Mark, I go, why are you so successful? I asked him down in Fort Lauderdale once, and he pointed to a guy who was coming out of his van and stuff was following out of his van. And he said, see that guy there? And I go, yeah. He goes, he's the best trim carpenter in all of Fort Lauderdale, Miami. And I go, really? He goes, absolutely. But what about you got so much more work? He goes, it's because my whole crew dresses clean. We have everything is branded, and that's what the customer wants. They want to feel comfortable with us in that house.
Yep.
I was blown away by that. It's that sense of professionalism and also branding, which is so important.
It's so important.
For sure.
It's so important.
Hey, okay, so let's go on a different route here.
Do
it. I was saying, I was watching you on Instagram. You have quite a bit of Festool, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I love Festool. I did my count. I did my count per your email, and it's 16. I don't know if that's impressive or not, but I have 16. I know, I'm looking at your wall, and it's like child's play, but...
No, but that's wicked. That is really cool. Huh. Out of all those 16, out of all the 16 tools you have, which one do you think is your favorite? Do you have one?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough toss-up because I have the TSC-55, which I use just all the time. But I mean, if I had to break it down to like which one could I not go without, it's the Domino. I mean, it's such a cool tool. I mean, there's just nothing.
Wow.
You can just use it in so many different situations. I mean, I just love the Domino so much. It's just so good. But it's tough because, we're in a business where, you know, if you don't pay up front, you're going to pay for it at the back, you know? Where like quality matters right off the get. So if you buy some cheap piece of furniture from a guy who's making you furniture, you're going to pay for it later. If you buy a cheap tool, you're going to pay for it later. It's not going to work. But I mean, every time I get a new tool from, you know, a new green tool and drink from the Kool-Aid, I go, oh yeah, man, I should have done this a long time ago.
That's how I was.
Yep. It's just so good. Like I got the K-Pax last in the spring or something. And man, I don't really enjoy miter saws for whatever reason. I had some really, really bad ones and they're just, it's just like impossible to keep them tuned up and keep them cutting how you need them to cut. It's just, that K-Pax is just amazing. I can always depend on it nailing the miter or the compound miter or whatever I need for my cuts.
Huh.
They just work.
I don't mean to act surprised, but I love all of them.
Yeah, no, they're
what?
What?
What are you talking about? Hey,
have you heard about these things, Sedge? They're amazing.
Yeah, a little bit. So I had been using my K-Pax that I have, that my personal one is a 2006, and it hasn't skipped a beat. And I use it every single day. And sometimes I forget because this is my world. Festool is my entire world, my career. It's everything. And then I go out and about and I use somebody else's and I go, hey, it's a nice saw. And then I use it and I go, I don't say anything, but I go, wow, am I spoiled rotten? You know?
Yeah. It's,
I mean, I just, no, it's, I was cutting on a saw at a regional training. I had packed up our sales managers, KPEX, and I cut with another brand that they had in their shop. And I said, what's wrong with the saw? They go, nothing. There's a brand new blade on it. And I walked away. I didn't say anything because I won't badmouth any other brand.
Right, right.
And I was just like, I just said it. And these guys are laughing in the room with me right now because they know I'm spoiled rotten. You know, because I just get, you know, you get used to something and then you go back mm-hmm. and you go, oh, wow, I had forgotten.
Yep. No, that's definitely yeah. the case. They're very great tools. I love them. I'm looking at the, when I have a little bit more space, I want to get that Vaxxis for the edge of my bench so I can, for sanding and stuff. I really like that system a lot, that suction system to hold the whole
yep.
piece.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's cool. I've gotten to use it about 5 times and I'm like, oh, man, I really like that a lot. But
make sure you get it quick. It's starting to phase out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so get it quick. There's still a lot out there, so.
Oh, okay. That's too bad.
Yeah. Hey, but I got a couple extra here. Maybe I can work a deal with
you. Yeah, I keep dragging my feet on it. Now that I'm in the shop and get set up, I got to do a big you know, end of the year write off purchase here pretty quick. So I got to get a list of tools together to grab.
Oh no, I'm on board with that. Yeah. But here's a funny thing though. I got a friend, and you know who he is. You know Jason. He just got
never
into. I always bring up Ben. Right? And he's like, I sharpened a couple hand plane blades for him and tuned up his hand planes, and he's like so enamored with hand tools now, right? He's probably told you. And
yeah,
he went out to try to buy some. He can't get any.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, everybody's on back order.
That's what happens when you get them 3 years too late, Jason.
You know he's listening, right? I'm trying to see, is he listening?
Yeah, who knows?
He might be. Yeah, he said he's going to listen. Him and Dev are listening today. Hey, okay, so let's go back to social because you guys have a phenomenal podcast. And I just
Thanks.
Love the name of it. Another Woodshop Podcast.
Well, there's about 100,000 of them, so.
Oh, my God, it's awesome. And I wrote down on my notes here, I wrote 91 episodes, but you just posted 92 yesterday, right?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Oh, my God. And I looked at the title. I'm not going to say it, but I looked at the title. I just went, these guys are off the hook. So
yeah.
how did you guys get started? How did you all meet? I know there's Dan and there's Peter, right?
Pete and Dan. So I met those guys on Instagram, started doing social media. You know, I'm in California. Dan's in Omaha. Pete's in New Jersey. We met on here. Pete and I knew Dan and Pete, you know, independently of each other. Dan and I, leading up to Workbench Con, was that 2019? Yeah, 2019. No, 2020, I guess. Yeah, right before. We went to Workbench Con. We were working on, Dan and I were working on putting together a podcast. We actually had another guy we were going to be doing the podcast with. And like 2 weeks before Workbench Con, he had said he couldn't do it. He had too much going on in his life. He had to back out.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan and I, when we were at Workbench Con, was the first time we met in person. We started really going like, we need to get this thing going. You know, we want to get this thing started right away. And I think that was the end of February and we wanted to get it going the middle of March. So we were like, we got to get a third guy. That's the standard, you know, podcast, you know, the three people on a podcast. So we started talking and brainstorming and I threw Pete out there and they had never spoken once. So we actually hopped on a Zoom call, the three of us, to make sure the chemistry was good. And we recorded it. And that actually became episode zero for the podcast. And we actually got to the end of it. We're like, man, this is really good. We really like the chemistry a lot. So we recorded the next week and we have not missed a single week since March 7th, 2020. So it's been a weekly thing for us. We're going to take our first week off this Christmas, actually. The week of Christmas, we're going to take the first week off that we've ever taken off. So it's going to be
good.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
it's just
like
you guys just start talking about stuff. Do you pick a topic for the evening or
no? Not usually. We jump in. We have voicemails, listener voicemails. Our segments are you know, we open up the show with what's on our bench. We have our what's on a bench segment, and we just talk about our weeks. And it's mostly banter. I mean, the show is very loosely woodworking. I mean, we're all involved. I mean, Dan's a full-time furniture maker. I'm a full-time furniture maker. Pete is a he's like a maker, woodworker, you know, jack of all trades guy, but he has a full-time day job too. So he's kind of more of the casual opinion on the show. We wanted like a mix of opinions. And at the time when we started the podcast, I wasn't full-time either. I was just working all the time between two jobs. So we had a bunch of different opinions at the time. We still do have three different opinions. All of us look at things very differently. So that's the kind of fun thing. And we have a good chemistry and we kind of riff on each other and make fun of each other as much as we can. So we try to bring each other to tears and try to have someone leave the show with bad feelings at the end of every episode. We just have a bunch of fun. So it's a bunch of fun. We're talking about what we're doing. And then we answer listener questions. That's our big, the focus of the show is always, we always wanted to answer listener questions. So
That brings people into the fold and,
you know, it's a community
connects
thing.
With you. Yeah,
exactly. For sure. That's great. So
I get a kick out of that because you're one of the, I think, two or three people we've had on there that also have podcasts, but also how you guys get together via Instagram. And I always get a kick out of it because
it's wild.
Maybe I'm being repetitive on this podcast, but I think that is the best thing about social media. It brings people together. And look how you guys are separated, you know, New Jersey. Did you say Nebraska, Omaha?
Yeah, Nebraska. Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska.
And California. And you can do it online and via Instagram or whatever podcasting. I just think it's great because people sharing helps people think, hey, man, that's really cool. I was always
like
wondering
brothers too. I mean, I've known these guys for like 3 years, I guess now. And we're really close. I mean, they're coming out here in 2 weeks. I mean, or the first week of January, they're coming out here.
Cool.
We try to do events, you know, they're coming out here for like 5-6 days. We were just out at Pete's house for Makers Camp. We were out at Makers Camp. It actually ended up working out where Pete got a new house. And we were going to meet Dan and I were going to go out there and help him set up his shop. So we picked the weekend and then they announced Makers Camp that same weekend. And Pete only lives an hour and a half from where Makers Camp is held. So we were like, let's go. We're going out there. So we only got to go for a day. And man, I'll tell you what, Maker Camp is such a fantastic, event. It's just so great.
Describe it to people. What is Makers Camp? Because somebody just recently talked to me about it.
Yeah, so it's at a resort in upstate New York, and there's hands-on events. You can do some it's maker related, not necessarily woodworking specific, but you can get your hand out. You can do some forging. You can do some turning. You can do some leather working. You can do some sewing. You can do all these different options. There's some brands out there. It's not as many brands as some of these other conventions, you know. It's more focused on the actual making and the actual craftsman side of it. So there's a lot of great faces out there. It was such a great experience. I know next year, me, Dan, and Pete from the pod, we're going to be going out there. We're going to be renting like a Winnebago and camping out there for the whole time. So we want to get like a big motorhome and stay out there because it's cool. Like, it's just such a cool event. It's so fun. It's just really – it's a lot of networking. And it's not social media networking. It's networking in person. It's face-to-face time, which is so valuable. And it's just so great. You get to – all these people you get to talk to on social media all the time. You get to talk to them in person. And it just is something – it's really great. That's the main reason I'm looking so forward to Workbench Con, you know. But, I mean, Workbench Con's great. I go there for the social aspect, not so much the classes that you go to. The talking with everyone and shaking hands and high fives and – having a beer is just the best part. So I love it.
Looks like I'm going to have a beer with you this year.
Yeah, we'll have one or 12. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, who knows? I like O'Doul's beer. You know, the great taste of beer.
It's the
without
water.
Without that annoying buzz, you know.
It's so annoying. I hate that. I hate feeling loose, you know. I just like to be tense, you know.
Man, we have covered so much ground, Mike.
Thanks for having me, man.
We're not done. Okay. Question for you. I'm terrible at this, but hey, you know, you mentioned a lot of stuff that I think is really important. You mentioned when you were starting the podcast, didn't have enough time, and I totally understand that. But look at you. You will work at two jobs. You still keep adding stuff. And I don't know how you do it, but you do it. You get the three different entities of your business. So there's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this or watching it. What advice would you give somebody? Because I'm serious. There's a lot of people listening to you right now saying, man, he's got a lot on his plate. How does he juggle it? But what advice would you give somebody who wants to make a jump into a career like that, what you're doing? You know, like maybe you could talk about just a little bit about some of your struggles. And
I mean, don't listen to people who have never done it because they don't know what they're talking about. There's going to be a bunch of people who tell you you can't. I would start, if you're looking to take on a business and to do it, talk to people who have done it. Don't talk to people who are afraid, because those people always make their decisions based on fear. And you can't do that anymore. You have to make your decisions based on almost a dream. It sounds cheesy, but people who don't do that, they never will. And them telling you that you can't, that's just an expression of themselves, honestly. Like they're telling you they can't because they can't. So they don't listen to people who haven't done it. Find other entrepreneurs and business owners, and find people who know what they're doing and have done it and have been through it, because they will. I'll tell you what, as a business owner myself, I love seeing other successful business owners, and I know other successful business owers like to see that too. And they want to see you succeed. I mean, you see it within the woodworking community. The woodworking community is almost friendly to a fault almost sometimes. I mean, it's so like everyone's so helpful and so willing to give you a hand and help you out. And it's amazing. It's a microcosm, really. I mean, it's not really like that in the business world. I mean, you get out there and in a lot of these, when you run into competition, I mean, it's pretty cutthroat. But at the end of the day, when you have a couple of business owners in a room, they ultimately want to see each other succeed, like really at the bottom of their heart. But someone who doesn't have that doesn't have that. So look for people that are gonna give you solid advice, that are gonna help lift you up and keep you going forward, because you're gonna have a lot of questioning yourself if you made the right decision. You're gonna have a lot of self-doubt for sure. You're gonna wonder, why can I even get this done? And here's the bottom line. I mean, there isn't enough time in the day, but you can get a lot more done in the day when you actually, if you take a piece of paper and you write down the stuff you have to get done and you order it in priorities and you start knocking stuff out. When you see that and you're able to focus on that stuff and just get it, that's what I do. I come out in the morning, I write down, okay, this has to get done. If we get all these things done, these things can get done. And if we can't get them done, we'll move them to tomorrow. But you need to be getting something done every day with your time. And that way, and it's not just so that you're working 20 hours a day. You need to get everything you can done in an efficient way, and you need to work on your processes, because you need to spend time with your family, and you need to have time for yourself, and you need to have hobbies. So I went from woodworking being a hobby to now it's my job. And I really don't want to get into this position where I do it so much that I end up despising it. I don't want to despise the thing that I love so much. So I've done is I'm forcing myself to take weekends. At least one day a week, I force myself to take time off. And I've taken on another hobby. We bought this property. I have this property. We want to get this thing up and running. I get to work on this property. I love doing it. I love it so much. And it's my distraction now. It's my distraction from this thing that is also my job, but I also love it. And I just want to make sure I always love it. So.
Okay, a little bit of insight, because I know this. What kind of tractor do you get?
I got a Branson 2515H. I love it. It's so
cool. I know
my
you
buddy, my buddy's a contractor, and I was looking at tractors. I was looking at some of the other brands. He's like, oh, you should. I mainly got it for material handling for Coffee Custom Builds, to get tables loaded into the trailers for deliveries and to unload my deliveries, because I get all my wood delivered here and all my other stuff delivered here, so I can unload them faster. We were unloading everything by hand. You know, I get like 3 skids of lumber, and it's like 2 hours of unloading sticks of lumber. This thing, we can get everything unloaded in like 5 minutes.
So, oh, man. Talking about saving time.
It's saving
time.
A ton of time. But just working out here is just, it's just so great. Like the property is pretty overgrown and hasn't been maintained in like 10 years. So we're trying to get it up and running. And we're actually, my wife and I are getting another business going on the property, but it's a seasonal business. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're really looking forward to it. It's actually, we bought a Christmas tree farm, and we're actually going to get the Christmas tree farm back up and running here, where I'm in the middle.
Wow.
I've cleared about a quarter to a half an acre so far of all the old overgrown stuff. So we're going to be planting in March and we should be able to start selling to the public in about 6 years. So it's a long game. Yeah, it takes a long time, but you know, that's the thing. There's no rush, right? It's a hobby. Yeah. It's a hobby level thing. Like, I'm not trying to stress myself out over it. I want to do it right, but I don't want to, like, I don't have numbers to hit. I don't have customers to get taken care of. I want to get this thing up and running again. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll get us plugged into the local community. And, you know, I can do some cross-marketing with Coffee Custom Builds. Obviously, there's some things involved there. I'm still a business owner. But with it, it's more fun than this. I mean, we're only going to be 45 days a year you sell trees. You're not selling trees all year long. So it's going to be a fun thing having a Christmas tree farm. So looking forward to doing that.
That is so awesome.
It's great.
Hey, that is some unbelievable advice you just gave everybody about a business. And don't tell me I can't do something. Everybody knows that.
You have to be stubborn, super stubborn.
You have to be stubborn. And I just spoke with a kid, a young man. I got to stop saying kid. And he's struggling right now out in California and his business. And I looked at him. I said, are you passionate still? Do you love what you're doing? He goes, yeah. I go, do not worry about it. Keep struggling. We need passionate woodworkers out there. And Mike, everybody knows how passionate you are. So keep going.
Thank you.
I want to buy a Christmas tree from you.
I want to sell you a Christmas tree. Well, you're not going to buy one. You're just going to come out here and get one for free. But
I'm going to cut it down, man. I'll throw them out and get a couple of slabs while I'm there.
For sure. By then, I'll probably have my bandsaw mill up and running.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah.
I'll live out there with you. I'll get some acreage. Okay.
Place next so, week. Let's you do know, this.
I don't want to take any more of your time. I know how busy you are. So I want to thank you so much for doing this with us. You're a rock star, man. Keep up doing
really
what
kind.
You're doing. Keep inspiring people, please. And thank you. And have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas.
You too, brother.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And we'll Merry talk Christmas to you soon.
Yeah, for sure, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Later, brother. Have a good night.